All right, so get ready because today we are diving into one of the most infamous unsolved mysteries of all time.
Ooh, sounds exciting.
It is. We're talking about the Zodiac Killer.
Yeah, this case has captivated the world for over half a century. I mean, come on. Cryptic murders, coded messages, taunting letters to the press.
Right, it's like something straight out of a movie.
Exactly. And that's why today we are going to be exploring a fascinating twist.
A twist.
Yeah. What if the Zodiac, as we've come to imagine him, never actually existed?
Okay, now that is a twist I wasn't expecting. Tell me more.
Well, a lot of this new thinking has been spurred by a recent Peacock docuseries called Myth of the Zodiac Killer.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, so it explores author Thomas Henry Horan's controversial theory.
Okay, so remind me, what's the gist of his theory?
Well, he basically argues that there's no definitive proof linking all the murders together.
Interesting.
Yeah, and he also argues that the letters could be completely separate from the crimes.
So maybe someone was just writing those to mess with everyone?
Exactly, and he even goes so far as to suggest that the whole Zodiac persona could be a literary invention.
Like someone trying to create a fictional character out of a real-life tragedy. That's pretty wild.
It is, and it really forces us to take a step back and reconsider everything we thought we knew about the case.
Okay, before we get too deep into that rabbit hole, can we do a super quick recap of what are generally considered the four Zodiac crimes? Just for context.
Yeah, good idea. So we're talking about five murders that are usually attributed to the Zodiac.
Five. Okay, so let's go through them one by one.
Sure. It started back in December of 1968.
68, okay.
Yep, with David Faraday and Betty Lou Jensen.
A young couple, right?
Yeah, they were shot in their car on a first date.
Tragic. Absolutely awful. And then what?
Then in July of 69, Darlene Farren was killed and Michael Magoe was wounded.
Ah, yes. That's the one where we get our first eyewitness account, right?
Exactly. Magoe survived the attack, but unfortunately, Farren didn't make it.
And wasn't there something particularly disturbing about those first couple of crimes? Like the way the victims were chosen?
Yeah, it was the seemingly random nature of it all, you know? Especially the attack on Faraday and Jensen, a young couple on a first date. It was just so brutal and unexpected.
Right, like anyone could be a target. And then things escalated even further in September of 69 with the attack on Cecilia Shepherd and Brian Hartnell at Lake Berryessa.
Oh, yeah, this one was particularly chilling.
I mean, the fact that the assailant was wearing a bizarre hooded costume with the Zodiac symbol on it, that just added a whole new level of creepiness to the
It
case.
was like something out of a nightmare. And again, it was the level of premeditation and that whole theatrical aspect that was so disturbing.
Right, this wasn't just a random act of violence. It felt staged, almost performative.
Precisely.
And then just a month later, you have the murder of Paul Stein in San Francisco. He was a taxi driver, shot in his cab, right?
That's right. And this one really stood out because it happened in such a public place.
Yeah, unlike the others, which took place in secluded areas, this was a busy city.
Exactly. So it really suggested a growing boldness on the part of the killer, a willingness to strike anywhere, anytime.
And it was after these murders that the letters started arriving at newspapers, right?
Yep, claiming responsibility and signed, "This is the Zodiac speaking."
Those letters, man. Talk about turning the whole investigation into a media frenzy. And those ciphers, it was like the killer was toying with everyone, taunting the police and the public with these cryptic messages and threats.
Right, and that's a key point that Horan focuses on in his theory. He argues that we've all become so fixated on the persona created in those letters that we've maybe overlooked some major inconsistencies in the evidence itself.
Okay, so walk me through this. How does Horan break down the case? What are the specific things that make him think there might be multiple killers or no single Zodiac at all?
Sure. So his approach is very methodical. He goes back and looked at everything, like the weapons used, the victim profiles, witness statements, even the locations of the crimes.
And what does he find?
He finds a lack of a consistent pattern. For example, the weapons used in the different attacks varied quite a bit, which is unusual for a serial killer.
Okay, so that's one thing.
Right. And then there's the victims themselves. They don't seem to fit a particular profile, which again is something you often see with serial killers.
So instead of one criminal mastermind, we might be looking at a series of unrelated events that just happen to get grouped together under this big scary Zodiac label.
That's exactly what Horan suggests. He arguing that some of the murders could be drug deals gone wrong, others might be robberies or personal vendettas, you know, crimes that on their own wouldn't have gotten much attention.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But when you lump them all together under this terrifying Zodiac label, it creates a much more sensational story.
It's like, I don't know, like the difference between a single lightning strike and a whole forest fire. One is a random, isolated event, the other is this massive, interconnected phenomenon.
I like that. And Horan's argument is that we might be mistaking a bunch of isolated fires for this giant, unstoppable Zodiac inferno.
I love that analogy. Okay, so that's one side of the coin, the multiple killer theory, but then there's the whole Arthur Lee Allen angle, right?
Right. And for that, we have to turn to the Netflix documentary, This is the Zodiac Speaking, which focuses on Arthur Lee Allen as the primary suspect.
Yeah, that documentary really dives deep into his story.
It does. And it's important to remember that this documentary is told from the perspective of Robert Graysmith.
The cartoonist, right?
Yes, he worked at the San Francisco Chronicle and became absolutely obsessed with the Zodiac case.
And he was convinced that Allen was the guy.
Totally convinced. And the documentary presents a lot of circumstantial evidence to back up that theory.
Like what?
Well, there's his interest in codes of ciphers, for one.
Yeah, I remember that. And he had a Zodiac brand watch, right?
He did, which is a pretty creepy coincidence.
Creepy for sure. And they also talk about how he acted in the documentary.
Yeah, there were a lot of stories about his unsettling behavior.
And wasn't there something about him being pulled over by the police near the Lake Berryessa crime scene?
Yep. Supposedly, he had bloody knives in his car.
Seriously. Okay, that is incriminating.
It seems that way, right? But it's crucial to remember that even with all of that, Allen was never officially charged with any of the Zodiac crimes.
Right. And wasn't there DNA testing done in the early 2000s that supposedly excluded him as a suspect?
There was, but of course, there are still those who believe that he was the Zodiac, despite the DNA evidence.
Yeah, the validity of that evidence has been questioned over the years, so it's definitely not a closed case.
Not at all. And then you have the testimony of the Seawater family, which adds a whole other layer to the story.
Oh, yeah. They knew Allen personally, right?
Very well. And their accounts of him are pretty disturbing, to say the least.
Didn't they talk about going on trips with him that supposedly lined up with some of the Zodiac murders?
They did. They paint a very dark picture of the man. They really do.
And there's the whole thing about the knife, right?
Oh, right. One of the Seawater siblings got a knife as a gift from Allen, and when they tested it, they found traces of blood.
Wait, seriously, what happened with that? Did they ever get the DNA results back?
That's the crazy part. The results are still pending.
Wow. So we've got this huge cliffhanger just hanging out there.
We do, but this case is full of twists and turns, so at this point, I'm not even surprised.
You're telling me, okay, so we've got Horan's multiple killer theory, we've got Graysmith's Arthur Lee Allen theory, and now we've got this pending DNA evidence from a knife given to one of Allen's friends. Where do we even go from here?
Well, before we get to the 2023 bombshell, I think it's worth taking a detour into the online world, because when it comes to the Zodiac, the internet is a wild, wild place.
I bet. I mean, there are whole forums dedicated to dissecting this case,
Oh,
right?
yeah, and they are buzzing with activity.
So, what are people saying online? What are some of the popular theories floating around out there?
Well, there's a lot of skepticism about the official narrative, which kind of echoes what Horan's saying in his book.
Makes sense. People love a good conspiracy theory.
It's true, you'll find folks online questioning everything, eyewitness accounts, the interpretation of the ciphers, even the validity of the DNA evidence that supposedly ruled out Allen.
Wow, so it's like this giant online investigation with everyone trying to piece together the puzzle.
Exactly. It's actually pretty fascinating to see how the internet has democratized the whole investigation process. Anyone with a computer can now access case files, share theories, and contribute to the search for answers.
It's like a global detective agency working 24/7.
It really is, and it makes you wonder if maybe, just maybe, one of these armchair sleuths will be the one to finally crack the code.
Now that would be a story for the ages.
It would, but speaking of cracking codes, let's talk about that bombshell development that rocked the Zodiac world in 2023. Remember those ciphers?
How could I forget those strange symbols and cryptic messages that seemed like they would never be solved?
Well, guess what? They finally cracked one.
They did. Which one?
The one from the 1974 letter to the San Francisco Chronicle. The one that ends with, "My work is not done, the truth is in the stars."
Oh, wow. I remember reading about that. That was a big one.
It was, and it had baffled investigators for decades. But a group of amateur code breakers using AI tools finally managed to decipher it.
That's incredible. So, what did the code say? What was the big reveal?
Hidden within that jungle of symbols were a set of coordinates.
Coordinates. Okay, now I'm really intrigued.
Me too. And guess where they pointed?
Where?
Riverside, California.
Riverside. Okay, and.
Those coordinates led investigators to the site of a brutal unsolved murder from 1966.
Wait a minute, are you saying they found a potential Zodiac murder that happened before all the other known attacks?
It seems that way.
That's insane. So we've got a pre-1968 murder potentially linked to the Zodiac. This is huge.
It is, and it gets even crazier. The handwriting from that Riverside crime scene was a match to the Zodiac's letters.
So we have the location from the cipher, and we have a handwriting match. That's a pretty strong connection.
Right. And naturally, that discovery prompted investigators to take another look at the DNA evidence from the Riverside crime scene.
Using all the new technology that's available now, I'm assuming.
Exactly. And this time, they got a match.
Okay, don't leave me hanging. Who was it?
The DNA pointed to an elderly man who was working at a psychiatric facility at the time of the analysis.
So, case closed. They finally caught the Zodiac Killer after all these years.
Well, it would seem that way, right? We have a DNA match, a connection to a previously unknown crime. It all fits the timeline.
I knew there had to be a but coming.
There is. Remember Horan's theory, the one that argues there might not be a single Zodiac at all? If this 2023 DNA match is legit, what happens to all the other theories?
Yeah, what about Arthur Lee Allen? And what about the Seawater family?
Those are all valid questions, and they highlight just how complicated this case really is.
It's like we've been trying to solve a puzzle, and now someone just came along and dumped a whole new box of pieces on the table.
That's a great way to put it. On the one hand, the 2023 breakthrough with the DNA seems pretty solid.
Right. I mean, you can't really argue with a DNA match.
Exactly. But on the other hand, we can't just toss out all the other evidence and theories that have been swirling around for decades.
It feels like we've taken one step forward and then suddenly stumbled into a whole new maze.
That's a perfect analogy. It's like we've been given this brand new puzzle piece, but instead of completing the picture, it's just revealed a whole hidden section of the puzzle that we didn't even know existed.
So how do we reconcile all of this? Could it be that this guy in Riverside was responsible for some of the Zodiac crimes, but not all of them? Or maybe he was part of a bigger group, like a Zodiac collective.
Those are definitely possibilities worth considering when the idea of a Zodiac group, or even copycat killers, has been out there for years.
Yeah, and it would explain some of the inconsistencies in the evidence that Horan talks about.
For sure. It could also explain why certain crimes seem to fit the Zodiac MO, while others don't quite match up.
So instead of having one lone wolf, we might actually be dealing with a network of individuals, each contributing to the Zodiac legend their own way.
It's a chilling thought, but it's not entirely implausible.
Yeah, when you think about it, the Zodiac case, with all its media attention and cryptic messages, probably inspired others to imitate the style or even try to insert themselves into the narrative.
Absolutely. It's like what happened with Jack the Ripper, right? There were all sorts of copycat letters and crimes that muddied the waters and made it even harder to separate fact from fiction.
Good point. Okay, so as we move forward with this deep dive, we have to keep in mind that the 2023 DNA match might only be one piece of a much larger puzzle.
Right. We might still be dealing with a multifaceted mystery with different individuals responsible for different crimes, all operating under the umbrella of the Zodiac.
So, in a way, the myth of the Zodiac Killer, this idea of a single mastermind behind it all, could actually be true.
Hold on, let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's still too early to say for sure, but it's clear that the 2023 breakthrough has added a whole new dimension to the case.
It has. It's almost like we've entered this parallel universe of Zodiac investigation where multiple realities could potentially coexist.
Exactly, and that's what we're going to explore further as we continue our deep dive.
Okay, well, I need a minute to process all of that. We've gone from a seemingly open and shut DNA match to the possibility of multiple Zodiacs, copycats, and a mystery that's even more tangled than we initially thought.
That's the beauty of the Zodiac case. It's a never-ending source of twists, turns, and surprises.
And that's what keeps us coming back for more. So what's next on our agenda?
Well, we've talked a lot about the crimes and the suspects, but we haven't really touched on the victims.
Oh, right.
I think it's crucial to remember that behind all the codes and theories, there were real people whose lives were tragically cut short.
You're absolutely right. It's easy to get caught up in the mystery, but we can't forget the human cost of this case.
Exactly. So in the next part of our deep dive, we're going to shift our focus to the victims and their stories. We'll delve into their lives, their hopes and dreams, and the impact that these crimes had on their families and communities.
That sounds both heartbreaking and incredibly important.
It is, because ultimately, understanding the victims and the human toll of these crimes is just as crucial as unraveling the mysteries surrounding the Zodiac Killer.
I completely agree. So join us next time as we continue our deep dive into the Zodiac case, exploring the lives of the victims and the lasting impact of these tragic events.
We'll see you then. It really is. And it makes you wonder if maybe one of those armchair sleuths will stumble upon like the missing link that finally solves this whole thing.
Right. Like, wouldn't that be something?
It would. Talk about a story for the ages. But speaking of missing links,
yeah.
Let's talk about that bombshell development that totally like rocked the Zodiac world in 2023. Remember all those ciphers? The ones that baffled investigators for decades?
Of course. I mean, how could anyone forget those? All those strange symbols and cryptic messages that seemed like they were, unbreakable.
Well, a group of, get this, amateur code breakers used AI tools and finally cracked one of them.
Whoa, hold on. They cracked one of the Zodiac ciphers. Which one?
The one from the 1974 letter to the San Francisco Chronicle.
Oh, wow. The one that ends with, my work is not done, the truth is in the stars. I remember that one.
That's the one. And it had stumped everyone for like, what, almost 50 years. But these code breakers using AI, they finally figured it out.
That's incredible. So what did they find? What was hidden as a cipher?
Well, hidden within all those symbols was a set of coordinates.
Coordinates leading to
Riverside, California.
Riverside. Interesting. What's in Riverside?
Well, those coordinates led investigators to the site of, you guessed it, a murder. And not just any murder, an unsolved one from 1966.
Hold on. So they found a murder that happened before all the other known Zodiac attacks. And the cipher pointed to it.
That's right. It looks like we might have a pre-1968 Zodiac murder on our hands.
This is huge. So we have a pre-1968 murder and a decoded cipher pointing to it. Anything else connecting it to the Zodiac?
Oh, yeah. Get this. The handwriting from the Riverside crime scene was a match to the Zodiac's letters.
Whoa. Okay. So we have the location from the cipher, and we have a handwriting match. This is really starting to add up.
It is. And with this new information, investigators were able to re-examine the DNA evidence from the Riverside crime scene using all the fancy new tech that wasn't available back then.
And did they get a match this time?
They did. The DNA pointed to an elderly man who was working at a psychiatric facility.
So wait, case closed. They finally caught the Zodiac killer after all these years.
Well, it certainly seems that way, right? We have a DNA match, we have a connection to a previously unknown crime, and it all fits within the timeline. But there's a catch.
Of course there is. There's always a catch with this case. What is it this time?
Well, remember Horan's theory, the one that argues there might be multiple killers, not just one Zodiac? If this 2023 DNA match is accurate, where does that leave all the other theories we've been discussing?
That's a good point. What about Arthur Lee Allen and all that circumstantial evidence against him? And what about the Seawater family and their stories about Allen? If this guy from Riverside is the Zodiac, does that mean they were wrong in that Allen?
These are all questions we have to grapple with. On the one hand, this 2023 breakthrough with the DNA seems pretty definitive.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with a DNA match.
Exactly. But on the other hand, we can't just ignore all the other evidence and theories that have been circulating for decades.
It's like we've taken one step forward and then stumbled into this whole new maze of possibilities.
That's a great way to put it. It's like we've been given a brand new puzzle piece, but instead of completing the picture, it's just revealed a whole hidden section of the puzzle that we didn't even know existed.
Exactly. So how do we even begin to make sense of all this? Could this Riverside guy be responsible for some of the crimes, but not all of them? Or could he have been part of a larger group, a Zodiac collective, as we were talking about earlier?
Those are definitely possibilities we need to explore. The idea of a Zodiac group or even copycat killers has been around for a while.
And it would explain some of those inconsistencies in the evidence that Horan points out.
It would. Some crimes fit the Zodiac profile perfectly, while others don't quite match up. Maybe that's because we're dealing with multiple people, not just one.
Okay, so instead of one lone wolf mastermind, we might actually be dealing with a whole network of individuals, each contributing to the Zodiac legend in their own way.
It's a chilling thought, but it's not outside the realm of possibility. Think about it. The Zodiac case, with all those cryptic ciphers and media attention, it probably inspired a lot of copycats.
Yeah, like people who wanted to be part of the story or maybe thought they could get away with their own crimes by mimicking the Zodiac style.
Exactly. Remember what happened with Jack the Ripper? You had all these copycat letters and crimes that just muddied the waters and made it almost impossible to separate the real Ripper from the imitators.
It's like a hall of mirrors. You never know what's real and what's not.
Right. And that's something we need to keep in mind as we continue to explore the Zodiac case. This 2023 breakthrough with the DNA is groundbreaking, no doubt, but it might only solve part of the puzzle.
So are you saying that the myth of the Zodiac killer, this idea of a single mastermind behind it all, might actually be true in a way?
Well, let's not jump to conclusions just yet. It's still too early to say, for sure. But what is clear is that this 2023 discovery has added a whole new dimension to the case, one that both supports and challenges the existing theories.
It's like we've entered a parallel universe of Zodiac investigation where multiple realities can coexist.
Exactly. And that's what makes this case so endlessly fascinating. It's a constantly evolving puzzle. Just when you think you have a piece figured out, another one pops up and changes everything.
I need a minute to wrap my head around all of this. We've gone from a seemingly straightforward DNA match to the possibility of multiple Zodiacs, copycats, and a mystery that's even more complex than we initially imagined.
But isn't that what keeps us coming back to this case? It's the twists and turns, the constant surprises, the realization that we may never truly know the full story.
It's like this never-ending labyrinth with a new path to explore around every corner.
You said it, and that's what we'll be doing in the next part of our deep dive. We'll be looking at the victims, the impact of the crimes, and the way this case has shaped our cultural understanding of serial killers and unsolved mysteries.
All right, I'm ready to dive back in. Let's do it.
It is. And, it really makes you think about like the role of the media in all of this. I mean, back in the 60s and 70s, the Zodiac case was like front page news.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, newspapers were publishing the killer's letters and everything.
Exactly. Which, obviously fueled public fear and fascination.
Right. It was like a real life horror movie unfolding in real time. And all that attention just added to the mystique of the Zodiac.
Totally. It was almost like the killer was using the media to create his own legend.
Yeah, to craft this image that's bigger than life.
Exactly. And that's something we really need to keep in mind as we, try to make sense of all these different theories and interpretations of the case. Like, how much of what we think we know is actually based on facts versus how much is just like media hype or even our own desire for a good story.
That's such a good point. It's easy to get swept up in the whole narrative, especially with a case like this.
Right. And even with this like pretty concrete DNA match from 2023, there's still this like nagging feeling that there might be more to the story.
Totally. It just feels like the puzzle isn't quite finished yet.
I agree. And that's the thing about a case like this. It really challenges us to constantly reconsider our assumptions and, to look at the evidence with fresh eyes and be open to the possibility that the truth is way more complicated than we originally thought.
Thinking back on everything we've talked about today, from the murders to the ciphers, the theories, the DNA breakthrough, it's a lot to process.
It is. It's like we've been on a whirlwind tour of the Zodiac case.
Exactly. But if you had to pick one thing, what stands out to you the most about this whole thing?
That's a tough one. But honestly, I think it's the enduring power of the unknown, Like, even after decades of investigation, all these theories, and even a potential DNA match, the Zodiac case still has this hold on us. It just goes to show that some mysteries might never be fully solved.
And that's okay, right? Maybe the journey, the process of exploring the evidence and trying to figure it all out, that's where the real value lies.
I think so. I mean, even if we never definitively solve the case, even if we never know for sure who the Zodiac was or why he did what he did, the journey itself is still worthwhile. It forces us to think critically, to question what we believe, and to confront the limits of our own understanding.
Well said. And I think that's a perfect note to end on. What do you think?
I agree. It's like we've reached the end of one path, but there are countless others still waiting to be explored.
So for our listeners out there, what's the main takeaway you want them to walk away with today?
I guess I would say this. Don't be afraid to embrace the mystery. Don't get it too hung up on finding a definitive answer or a single culprit. Instead, just appreciate the complexity of this case, all the conflicting evidence, the multiple perspectives. Let yourself get lost in the labyrinth, but always remember to question what you think you know and be open to new information.
I love that. Embrace the mystery. It's not always about the destination, it's about the journey.
Exactly. And who knows? Maybe someday a new piece of evidence will surface, some new technology will emerge, or a brilliant mind will finally crack the code that unlocks the remaining secrets of the Zodiac Killer. But until then, the mystery endures and the fascination continues.
Well, on that note, we'll leave you all to ponder the mysteries that remain. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep into the fascinating world of the unknown.
See you next time.